Hi there, members, and welcome to this week's The Club Live session. Let's get straight to our Trello board and have a look at what our topic is today. I'm going to share my screen. And today's live session right here for the 16th of December is staff remuneration. Now, the reason why this is a topic for today is because I've had a number of people contact me about this just in this past couple of weeks. I've had the same discussions over and again around what on earth do I pay people? And I see great performers coming into a practice. They've applied for a job and then the employers are thinking, gosh, what they're asking for per hour is a little high. How do I know for sure that they're going to be worth that amount of money? And for your existing employees as well. You know, you always think that you're going to be offering a fair remuneration for the efforts put in by your staff members, but are you in the areas of fair remuneration? Are you going backwards? Are you moving too far forwards and paying your employees too much? Let's have a look at a few considerations to take into account when you are determining the value of your staff members in terms of what you pay them. I'm just going to share my screen again and go into my PowerPoint presentation that I've prepared. That's the little one. So these are the critical factors that you can take into consideration when you're determining how much to pay your staff. Number one, we always need to start with what is the fair work award rate? Usually it's far lower than you would be paying your team members. The only people that really should be on the fair work award rate are those that just meet the criteria there. Fair work award rates don't really take into consideration how the different levels of performance and attitude and the values and the relationship building skills and all of the wonderful things that create high value in a team member, fair work can't really put a dollar value on that. And it ranges so much from practice to practice and business to business and industry to industry. And so the fair work award rate is purely a starting point. So always consider that. One of the next considerations to have is the responsibilities of the role. So the responsibilities of the role of a trainee dental nurse compared to a senior dental assistant are quite different. So think of the number of responsibilities and the level of responsibilities, the level of expertise that's required in order for that person to fulfill the responsibilities of their role. Another consideration is it a new hire or an existing staff member that we're looking at? With an existing staff member, you know just from working with that person what their value is to the dental practice that you're an owner of. With new hires, you're hoping to reach that person, reach the potential they're promising. So think about whether it's a new hire versus existing staff member. Because with a new hire, this is what a probation period is often very good for, is that, you know, we're going to bring you on board. We're going to start you a little bit lower, though, because we understand the potential that you're promising that you're going to have within this practice and that you're going to reach within this practice. However, we don't know that for sure. That's something that we're going to have to see to believe. And so we're going to start you off here. We know you want this. We're going to start you off here, and let's hope that you raise up and achieve that level, and then we can certainly do that. So let's just say someone's on a 60-day trial period or 60-day probation period. We're going to start you off at $25 an hour, and then once you prove your weight, prove your salt, then you will be jumping up to that $30 an hour. Just writing a note for myself because I want to make sure that I mention this to you, this particular point to you. The skills that they have now. And so everyone will present to you, or they are currently working within your practice, with a certain series of skills that they have achieved mastery in. So what are those skills that they've achieved mastery in so far? As you know, I'm a big supporter of constant and never-ending improvement, both for individuals and as the business as a whole. And so hopefully their skills now is the bare minimum they will ever offer to your practice. Hopefully, they are engaging in further training in communication, patient psychology, tracking key performance indicators, marketing, all the many things that their role may encompass. Hopefully they're constantly improving their skills and increasing their skill level so they become more and more valuable to the business and they're offering more and more results, better and better results. And then the new skills needed. Always have a think to yourself, okay, the person's presenting me in this particular space right now. What's needed in order for them to reach the potential of their role? If it's a dental assistant and they're fully trained dental assistant, they've come to you with a certain number of skills, but what if your practice actually does a whole bunch of implant work and surgery work, GA work, and they're going to have to actually upskill in order just to meet the standard, meet the minimum standard. So consider if any new skills are going to be required for that person to be able to fulfill that common role, but in your practice, it needs additional skills. More factors to consider are attitude versus skill. And so, yes, they may not have all the skills there, but maybe their attitude is very, very strong. They've got great enthusiasm for helping their practice achieve its potential. They've got great energy that they bring to the team every single day. And they've got a lot of consideration for the patients as they move through. They're very caring. So always do think about when you are thinking, gosh, this person's not presenting to me with all the skills that are required for this role. However, their attitude is through the roof. That's worth something. The number of years experience that they've got. If you've got a receptionist that comes to you that has had 2 years experience, as opposed to or in comparison to someone that comes to you and they've had 10 years experience, the way those two people fulfill that role is going to be wildly different. One, the more experienced one, often has a higher level of confidence, self-confidence. They often deal with patient complaints and disputes far better. They often know how to really inspire and motivate the team on a daily basis. And they understand how to develop great rapport and they have very effective communication skills with patients as well. So the number of years experience are wildly different, brings a different performance to the table. The years of loyalty to your practice, or if it's a new hire, how many years loyalty were they exhibiting to the other practice? Keep in mind that when we are talking about a brand new hire, if you've got a dental nurse or a receptionist, for example, that comes to you and the previous employer, they were there for 15 years and you go, gosh, that is fantastic. You know, that is a kind of loyalty I want. I want to get somebody great in and know they're going to stay for ages so I never have to rehire again and go through this implementation of a new staff member again. It may look fantastic on paper that they've been at a previous employer for such a long time, but keep in mind as well, even bad employees are kept at practices because the owner is fearful of having them go and lose all that, the relationships they've built up with patients, or some people are quite intimidating and that employer have taken the back seat to this employee for such a long time. So do be aware that the reasons why loyalty is exhibited at previous employers may differ in terms of the reasoning behind it. It's always worthwhile to call that employer and say that employee was with you for 15 years. Was that an enjoyable 15 years? Did they really add value to your practice? So the number of years loyalty to your practice is absolutely crucial to acknowledge when understanding how to remunerate a staff member. If someone's been there for 1 year in comparison to 10 years, the influence, the impact they have on your patient base is different. You want to have somebody that's there that knows the patient so well. They ask about the kids and the holidays and what's happening with your veggie patch and they know everything about them. That's strong, wonderful relationships, you want to have those. But also the amount of intel they've got about your practice, where that strange instrument's kept, what the system is for that that's so complex that we didn't even write up a system for it. So the number of years loyalty, you want to really encourage your team members who are great to stay with you for good because they know how everything runs and they are an enormous benefit to your practice. Team contribution, you can have someone who is tremendous at rolling out their responsibilities of their role. They may be highly skilled. They may have been there for 10 years. They may have great relationships with all your patients. However, they may be quite destructive as a team member to your team culture. So keep that in mind too. You want to reward people and try to keep people on site employed by you who are tremendous team contributors, that they make the team better, richer because of their contributions to that team. And that's what remuneration is all about. Effective remuneration is about, what do I need to pay this person that I love so much that I want to stay here? What's it going to take to keep them here? And you want to create a fantastic environment for them. And part of that fantastic environment is money. Even though the wage is not normally at the top of the list why people stay at a particular practice, studies indicate that in various different industries, money is not number one. If you'll create a fantastic environment plus pay them effectively, they'll stay. But money becomes number one when you don't give a pay rise for a long period of time to people that truly do deserve it, or when you are paying somebody something that they feel, gosh, I really do deserve more. And at some point, there'll be a tipping point. I've been here long enough. I've asked for a couple of pay rises. They haven't come through to the degree that I think I deserve. At some point, that employee may just go, that's it. I'm going somewhere else. I've had a job offer somewhere else, and it's actually going to pay me what I think I'm worth. And talking about what someone is worth, one of the questions that I ask all potential new team members, so any candidates looking for a position, once I go through a telephone interview to listen how they build rapport, to listen, but you know, have a discussion around their experience within the industry, what kind of teams they enjoy working within, what kind of practices that they really enjoy working within. Once I have all of that sort of information, and we've kind of gone to the next step where it's a face-to-face interview, in that face-to-face interview, and possibly over the phone too, I do it. It's nice to get this conversation done nice and early. I ask that team member, what do you think you're worth per hour? It's easier for me to ask that question because I'm a step away normally. Like, I know the employer's over there. Just between you and me, what do you think you're worth per hour? I encourage all potential employers to ask this question. And if you're looking for a trainee or someone that you can mentor and train and build up their skills, don't ask, it's not a question for those ones. What I'm talking about are the employees. Let's say, for example, it's a receptionist and you want someone switched on, experienced, they can fit right into that role and start to bring their wealth of experience and knowledge to that role, making your practice better off because they're employed with you. You want someone experienced that you don't need to train up. Those sort of people, I would say, what do you think you're worth per hour? At the moment, you know, dental receptionists, a lot of them are being paid above $30 an hour for their role. And if I had someone say, you know what, I think I'm worth $28 an hour, $25 an hour, I'd be inclined to pass on those ones. I want someone who would be sitting there very confidently saying, you know what, I have been in the industry a long time. I know what I'm doing. I'm very confident in my abilities and I am worth $35 an hour. That's the one where that would have my attention. If you're wanting to get a top performer in one of the roles in your practice, ask them what they're worth. If they're putting themselves at a higher rate, I guarantee you they will not be, you wouldn't get a dental receptionist saying, I want $60 an hour just because of the fact you've asked me the question. No, they're going to present to you a figure that feels right for them. And you want someone who has confidence, so much confidence in their ability, that they're going to say to you, I want this great amount per hour because I know I can prove to you that I'm worth it. That's the kind of performer you want. Standard of personal presentation. Consider that one as well when it comes to what's the value this person brings to this particular practice. Do they have visible tattoos around their neck, piercings through their nose, odd coloured hair, come in looking a bit shabby and funny shoes on, you know, or do they come in and they've got a very professional attire? Any tattoos are covered with scarves, long sleeves, piercings have been taken out, hair has been styled in such a way that honours the fact that they're in a health service setting. Do they hold themselves well? Do they present themselves well to patients? So think about the personal presentation of your employee, potential employee or current employee as well. The communication and the care of patients. How well do they get along and build rapport with your patients? How well do they care for your patients? Do your patients feel nurtured by them? Their attendance and reliability. Do they turn up right on time or 5 minutes late all the time? Do they turn up at all the days that they need to turn up to? Or are they asking for days off my birthday, asking for days off for my dog's birthday? So what's their level of reliability? What is your staff wages budget? Obviously, you want to have the best people employed by you. And if they're all going to ask for top dollar, it may be tipping your turnover, the viability of your business to a point where it's going to be a concern. So we do need to make sure that we can afford the kind of team members that we are attracting to the practice. Is there a bonus structure in place? As you know, I'm not a huge fan of bonuses, but is there a bonus structure in place that will form part of their wage as well? Take that into consideration. Alignment of values. The values of your practice, are they shared by this employee or are they quite different? If they're shared by this employee, then you will be all working towards the same goal when it comes to the management and care of your patients. And so alignment of values is worth something. Outside of those 15 considerations, there are a few other ones to keep in mind when you've got someone in front of you that you are thinking about, how am I going to best pay this person so they feel really satisfied with the pay they take home every week and I feel really happy that I've paid it to them? You don't want resentment of either side. You certainly don't want to be paying somebody more than you think that they deserve, because you will start resenting that pay slip that you pay out every single week or fortnight. And you also don't want that great employee to look at it and go, it really wasn't worth all my effort. I might start pulling back on my efforts and my performance and my enthusiasm to match the lower amount that I'm getting paid if they feel like they deserve more. So you really got to get this right. So here are some additional considerations. Do they save you time? In terms of, do they require little training? If you need to devote a lot of time and energy and money into training them, then their hourly rate will be a little bit less. However, if they're highly skilled and they've got their communication skills down pat and patient engagement skills down pat, then they're going to save you time and money in what you would normally be required to train them. So are they saving you time? Do they train others? Have they come into your practice? Maybe you've got a couple of staff members that are still in training, or they're young and they're still improving in terms of performance. Are they going to assist in training those people? Therefore, you'll start getting a higher return on investment of those team members thanks to this team member. So do they train others? Are they going to attract new business into the practice? Classic example, let's use the receptionist role again. Because that receptionist is so awesome, they convert all the new callers into appointment time straight away. They're actually making sure that new business comes into the practice rather than maybe a less experienced, less skilled receptionist on the front desk that doesn't quite know how to manage new patient queries, or maybe is not as adept at building strong rapport quickly. And so you start missing a lot of those new callers as they do a bit of a ring around and they're not totally impressed with your practice. And so they just ring the next practice on the list. So do they attract new business into the practice itself? Do they relieve pressure on you? Let's use the dental assistant as an example. Can you delegate some of your tasks to them, such as, can you pour up my models, make my splints, make my mouth guards, write up my clinical notes, or assist in writing up my clinical notes? So are they relieving pressure on you that allows you to better enjoy your work and have more time to do more of your work? And do they reduce the time management spent on addressing minor issues? Are they self-sufficient and self-starters and willing to take responsibility for their own performance? Or are they constantly coming to you, I don't have enough time for this, I need a little bit more assistance with that, this happened at home and now I can't seem to be able to motivate myself to work properly today. So do they require a lot of management to help make sure their performance remains strong? Or are they going to reduce the time you manage them? Because they are self-reliant and self-assured, self-starter, and they take responsibility for their own actions. So all of these things are to be taken into consideration when you are considering what this person's worth. Quite often, all of that criteria isn't taken into consideration by practice owners. And I think it's crucial to do so, because when we're talking about a person, an employee delivering a certain performance, what the employee is thinking in their brain is, I'm delivering this performance, I'm fulfilling my roles, but I've also got a great attitude. I also turn up on time all the time and I'm really reliable. I also do this and I do this and I do this and I do this. So that's worth something. But then when it's the employer thinking, what do I pay this person? One of their first questions quite often is, what do other practices pay their team members? And I'm like, well, what's the performance level like of these other team members? How old are they? How experienced are they? What level of enthusiasm do they bring to the table? We've got to compare apples with apples. It's like saying, you know, that all fillings are the same, all dentists are the same, all treatment presentations are the same. No, they're not. They're wildly different and they all have different levels of value. And so I encourage you, if you are employing a new team member and you're wondering how to compensate them, or you've got current team members asking for a pay rise or they're due for a pay review, really do consider all of these many things that make up the value of a team member. It's more than just what the award rate and what the going market rate is. It's all the other stuff that they bring to the table as well. So I hope you go through that list that I've gone through with the PowerPoint presentation and really have a good consideration of that. As a bit of a guide, and I'd only just mock this up just before, so it hasn't been as well thought out as I would normally do, but I think it's worthwhile showing it to you. I am going to fill it out more so and get Charles's input on this as well, just to try to make it a much more effective product for you. But it is, I'll just screen share again. It is a remuneration guide matrix. I've just made it in an Excel document. And if we can just go through this and just see how it fits with you, because I know a lot of people would like more of a guide than just the generalities that I've delivered in that PowerPoint presentation. So let's consider, first of all, that we're going on a point system. And let's just consider, let's say every point is worthy of 20 cents. Now let's move down here. We've got a list of things here. Presentation, professionalism, attendance and punctuality, management of responsibilities of role, team contribution, communication and care of patients, attitude and enthusiasm, and another factor and another factor and another factor. And the way the performance points system work would be, if they need work in this particular area, we will get zero, attribute 0 points in that space, because we're needing to spend time, energy, money, training them up to get them to a standard. If their work is satisfactory, so it is to standard, it meets the standard, meets your expectation, then it's worth 1 point. And so then you go through this list and you go, yeah, they're, you know, that management of responsibilities of role, they are meeting expectation, 1 point for that. But with their team contribution, man, they're really enthusiastic. They have mastered being part of a team and getting the best out of fellow team members. And so mastery is worth 2 points. And then we're going to tally all those points up down the bottom here. And then further on down, number of years loyalty. So for every 1 year of loyalty, maybe they're worth 2 points. Maybe that's worth an extra 40 cents an hour. And so in total, that person's worth, that's got 6 points there. And number of years experience in the role. It might be just the amount of time that they've been at your practice, but maybe they spent 10 years evolving and perfecting their skills and communication, all the rest of it. And so maybe they've had a whole bunch of years experience somewhere else. But number of years experience in the role, again, worth 2 points every year. So So we put a figure in there as well. Let's start with the award rate. That's the starting point. Remember, that's the bare minimum we can ever get away with paying that person. And when you think about it, if you want a staff member who's just doing the bare minimum to remain employed, the bare minimum, nothing above, just the bare minimum, then that's what they're worth. However, most of the time, we have team members contributing more than the bare minimum. So we should absolutely be valuing them financially as higher than the bare minimum as well. So award rate's the bare minimum, $23.88. That was the 2020 award rate for a level 5 employee, so for a trained dental assistant or for an experienced receptionist, for example. And then we're going to tally up all the points. So whether from the needs, work, satisfactory and mastery columns, plus the year's loyalty to your practice, plus the year's experience. And so all of those tally up to 29 points. And 29 points times 20 cents per point plus the award rate, that brings their proposed hourly rate to $29.68. This sort of thing, I've got the formulas in there, and I will attach it to this, the Trello card, and to the Club Hub lesson as well for this particular live session. So you can play around with it yourself, because this has got the formulas within it. So just say that person had a number of, you know, it's this time again next year. So they've actually got 8 points, an additional year's loyalty. And you can see straight away it affects that hourly rate. So you can play around with it and modify it so it makes sense to you in your practice. If, for example, we did work on the presentation, they've moved up to number one for presentation. And for attendance and punctuality, now they're right on track. They are never late and they never call in sick. And so they've got mastery in that space too. And all of a sudden that's reflected in their pay rate as well. So that might be a useful tool for you. The final product of this remuneration guide matrix, I am going to send out to you once it is ready. But I think this is a wonderful starting point. And it's a great way of starting to think about, gosh, what value do I place on presentation and professionalism, team contribution, attitude and enthusiasm, etc. So the other thing I wanted to mention was negotiation. So when we're negotiating anything, I went to this course, I can't even remember what it was on, years and years and years ago, and I love this negotiation tool that they taught at this little mini course. And let's use a team member as an example. Just say we've got a new team member coming on board. We want the role filled by an experienced receptionist, someone that can go straight into that role, learn our systems, but start performing straight away. That team member, asking them the question of, what's the least amount of money you are willing to take this job for per hour? What's the least amount of money? I want to get my little pad here going. Maybe that's going to help. So what's the low point? What's the least amount of money you are willing to accept to do this role? Because maybe the benefit is, I love the team, I love the location, I love the hours, it suits me and the childcare and everything else like that. So this is the least amount of money I'm willing to accept to do this role. And what's the most amount of money you're hoping to achieve? Let's just say we're down here. I will do this role for $29 an hour. And then the upper end, I would love $32 an hour. That's what I think I'm really worth. And then I say to the employer, what's the least amount of money you want to try to get away with paying this person? What's your ideal low end? What's the amount of money that you'd like to get away with paying this person? And they may, I'd say, I'd love to be able to pay them $28 an hour. Now, what's the most you're willing to go to in order to get this person to work with you? The most I'm willing to go to is $30 an hour. And there's always going to be a crossover. Most of the time there is a crossover, and that crossover point is $30 an hour. It is within the range of the employee's hopes and desires and the least amount they're willing to accept, and it is in the range of the employer's most I'm willing to pay, least I'm wanting to pay. And so there's a crossover. That is a handy negotiation tool that I've used in many cases, and that's certainly helped me achieve good success. The other thing I wanted to mention was when we're talking about the value of a team member and what contribution they can make to your business and how much easier they can make your life and how they can impact productivity, efficiency, and general happiness of the whole practice. I would like you to think, consider in your brain, your dream dental team. Really become specific in your brain. Let's pretend we're years off in the future. Don't have any of your existing team members in mind when you've got this thought process going on. But what's your dream team? What do they look like? If you're about to hire a receptionist, think to yourself, what receptionist have I got when I've got my dream practice where I am functioning at my best? I'm doing all the services that I love doing. I'm seeing all the types of patients that I love seeing. What does that receptionist look like? How is she treating the patients? How is she performing as a team member? And how is she completing her responsibilities within her role? Think about it. Dream about it. Think about the value of her. Think of her or him and think, gosh, I would do anything to get this team member. Now think about how much you'd pay her to make that person stay. We always want to be hiring people that don't just meet the criteria of what the practice needs are right now. We want to be hiring people that will fulfill the role effectively for where we want to take the practice, for where we want to take the practice. There is a marvelous book by Marshall Goldsmith. He's a team coach, individual coach of your mentor and coach in America. And he wrote a book called What Got You Here Won't Get You There. And it indicates you need to shift your mindset. You need to shift your skill set. You need to really tap into the strengths and improve the contribution you're making in order to get to your next goal. Because whatever you are right now got you to where you are right now. And if you want to go above and beyond that, you need to do stuff differently. And the same is true for your practice. If you're trying to get there with your practice, but you keep hiring people that are competent here, you're never going to get there. It's going to be an enormous struggle and you're going to have to drag your team members with you. So if you've got plans and aspirations of your practice being a higher level to where it is right now, an improved standard to where it is, an increased standard to where it is right now, then think about who you need for those roles. Think about what you'd be paying them and hire them right now. Pay them now what they'll be earning then, and they will help bring your practice and grow your practice to where you want it to be. I think that's it. I've covered my points. So what I would like you to do as a daily focus is that really identify, you might have your practice exactly where you want it to be, and you've got your team members that are required to make sure that that's happening for you. I always do encourage practices to have a mixture of experienced and newer people as well. We need to get as many people into this industry as possible. People are finding it more and more difficult to find experienced dental assistants and receptionists to fulfill the roles. We are depleted. We've got a depleted pool to choose from. And the only way that we can effectively make sure that this space is different in the future, and that when we are looking for new people, that we've got a lot of great people are turning up for interviews and you've got a higher standard of candidate, is that we start making the dental industry an appealing place to be employed within. So it's exciting. You get to learn new skills. You get to get better and better, and you get to be paid well. It's a well-paying industry to be in. But also, we need to always make sure that we've got a certain level of standards within the practice that they're all aspiring to. We can't just have a team of newbies and youngsters. That is going to make sure that you are having a struggling customer service routine, and that you will have a space where you need to have people in a space where they're aspiring to be better. And to be able to be better, they need to be trained into being better. One of the best ways of that is to learn through observation. That's how you turn up to work every day in your attire. That's the attitude you're supposed to come to work every day. That's the kind of performance and dedication to responsibilities that you need to address every day. You need the young people being able to look up and see where it's supposed to be, natural mentorship going on. So I always do encourage dental practices to have a combination of really experienced people and have one or two young people coming up through the ranks. And as they improve, you know, they'll use your practice as a training ground, absolutely, but that's great. That means that we are constantly having new people come into the industry and become experienced. So when you are replacing that team member, when they go, you know what, I want to see what it's like at other dental practices, you advertise, there's going to be a nice pool of people to choose from. So do have a think about, in your daily focus for this coming week, think about who your ideal practice are, what your ideal practice is, and who your team members are. They talk about who are the team members sitting on the bus. So think about that. What kind of performance are they delivering, and what are you paying them? What are you doing to make sure you keep those magnificent employees? I hope you have a fantastic week, and we will be taking a break. Next week, we're talking about goals for 2021. And then we're going to be taking 1 week's break over Christmas, and then we're back on deck again in January. If you have any questions, I'm available all the way through the Christmas period, just taking the foot off the gas a little bit, having a little bit more gardening time in between the tasks. So I hope you have a fantastic week. I look forward to speaking to you next week about setting up some fantastic goals for 2021. See you later.